Mike Malloy's holiday, but it ain't no holiday for us here on the Mike Malloy Show. My plea to the news, can you please stop breaking? Just stop breaking for the next 3 hours. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. We are live tonight, Friday night, broadcasting live from the left coast as Mike Malloy has a night off. I am Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen blogger, investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. A huge 3 hours here tonight. I don't even know where to begin. Well, we'll begin this way. Our phone number is 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. My Twitter, you can follow me on the Twitters. You can call me all sorts of names. You can do whatever you like there. I am The Brad Blog over on Twitter. And, of course, the chat room presented by ScribbleLive.com tonight. Thank you very much, Scribble Live. Is open at BradBlog.com. Stop on by. Click on through the very top item. You will see the chat room there. Don't go to the comments. Go into the actual chat room. Hey, Des, try to make a note. Tell people to look up to the chat room there. That's where folks are piling in tonight as we have one piece of breaking news after another. Some big news out of Wisconsin tonight. Some big news out of Iowa tonight. And, of course, as the Middle East is going crazy with riots in Tunisia, protests in Egypt, Sudan, Yemen, Gaza, Afghanistan. And then, of course, we've got a whole bunch of guests coming on the show tonight. So, like I said, buckle up. We're going to be joined a little bit later in the show by Kurt Eichenwald, the reporter formerly of the New York Times, now of Vanity Fair, the author of an upcoming book, 500 Days, on his blockbuster story that ran on, Tuesday night for the night of, the eve of 9/11 this week, that Bush was warned. George W. Bush was warned time and time again by the CIA to take al-Qaeda seriously prior to 9/11. It was not just one single presidential daily brief, as has been reported previously by the 9/11 Commission and by the Bush administration. We're going to talk to him about that startling report. We're going to talk to Stephanie Miller, the election commission chair in Philadelphia, about this photo ID nightmare that could affect some 1.6 million legal voters in about, 56 days or so from now, something like that, for the November presidential election. That case went before the Pennsylvania Supreme Court yesterday. Also going to have my interview with Dana Siegelman, daughter of former Alabama Governor Don Siegelman, who had to report to prison this week on September 11th, ironically enough, to complete his 6.5-year term. That was on Tuesday. I interviewed Dana, his daughter, about that and about her attempts, her campaign for a presidential pardon for her father, who has been sent away for almost 6 years for something that was has never been a crime before in the history of this country. So all of that is straight ahead. As if that's not enough, got some breaking news for you tonight, as I promised, out of Wisconsin. This from AP. About an hour ago, judge strikes down Wisconsin law that effectively ended collective bargaining for public workers. Yeah, you heard me right. A Wisconsin judge has struck down the state law championed by Governor Scott Walker that effectively ended collective bargaining rights for most public workers. Dane County Circuit Judge Juan Colas, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, ruled Friday that the law violates both the state and U.S. Constitution and is null and void. The ruling comes after a lawsuit brought by the Madison Teachers Union and a union for Milwaukee City employees. Walker spokesman Cullen Werwe says he is confident the decision will be overturned on appeal. It was not clear if the ruling means the law is immediately suspended. The law took away nearly all collective bargaining rights from most workers and has been in effect for more than a year. And, of course, it led to the recall effort, culminating in the recall, the June 5th recall effort of Scott Walker, who, by the way, his election is still being counted by good citizen election integrity folks all across the county as they try to get access to those paper ballots to make sure that the results as reported were accurate. My money says they weren't, but we'll see. Just minutes after the ruling came down from the Wisconsin judge, Scott Walker took to Twitter, as we covered over at Brad Blog, with a series of tweets saying, quote, "The people of Wisconsin clearly spoke on June 5th. Now they are ready to move on. Sadly, a liberal activist judge in Dane County wants to go backwards and take away the lawmaking responsibilities of the legislature and the governor. We are confident that the state will ultimately prevail in the appeals process." Don't know if they will prevail or not in the appeal process, but it's rather amusing that, of course, any time a judge goes against anything a Republican wants to see happen, they are, of course, liberal activist judges. I guess those are the same judges that the Republicans were begging the Supreme Court to overturn Obamacare. They were begging for activist judges on the Supreme Court, begging for it. But no, activist judges only exists when it goes against a Republican law. Okay, speaking of more activist judges here, no doubt. This broke within just, I want to say, last half hour, if that much, 8:20 p.m. Yeah, within about the last half hour here. A judge in Iowa temporarily blocks possible Iowa voter purge. So, more good news. An Iowa judge issued a temporary injunction on Friday, this was from Reuters, blocking the state's plans to verify the citizenship status of voters before the November 6 election in the Midwestern swing state. The injunction was a setback for Iowa's Republican Governor Terry Branstad, whose government had hoped to check on the citizenship of more than 3,500 people to purge state voter rolls of potential illegal immigrants. You know, of course, they couldn't do this when, you know, last year, the year before. We got to do this a month before the election. There may be potential illegal immigrants voting. Yes, potential illegal immigrants are rushing to give their name and address to the state government, to the federal government. And then they can't wait to get in there and commit a felony that will get them deported for life. The court concludes, this is from the judge, her 12-page ruling. Iowa District Court Judge Mary Pat Grunderson said the effort to verify the legal status of voters could not proceed while a lawsuit against the potential voter purge goes forward. The court concludes the harm that granting the temporary injunction may prevent outweighs the harm that may result from denying it, the judge wrote in her ruling. She stressed that the ruling was only provisional, did not directly address the merits of the state's concern about voter eligibility, but she said the pursuit of new voter verification efforts under emergency rulemaking power. It was an emergency rule. Under emergency rulemaking powers adopted by Iowa Secretary of State and Republican Tea Party loon Matt Schultz. Oh, it doesn't say that part about the Republican loon. I guess I added that. Iowa Secretary of State Matt Schultz had, quote, created confusion and mistrust in the voter registration process in immigrant communities in Iowa. They have created fear that new citizens will lose their right to vote and or be charged with a felony and caused some, qualified voters to feel deterred, even from registering to vote, Grunderson said in her opinion. Schultz, the state's top election idiot, I'm sorry, I misread that, the state's top election official, decried Grunderson's ruling, quote, "Unfortunately, this ruling could open the door for non-citizens to continue voting in Iowa elections," he said in a statement. You know, of course, Governor Rick Scott in Florida tried the same thing. We reported on that in great detail, both on this show and at bradblog.com. They found virtually no potential non-citizens, as they sent letters to thousands of perfectly registered, perfectly eligible citizens, telling them they were going to be removed from the rolls down in Florida. Well, now they've had to undo that because there were so few non-citizens actually registered out of the 11.4 million registered voters down in Florida. We were able to confirm just 9, but none who actually voted. Right now, they did find someone who voted, a Canadian non-citizen. A Canadian voted down in Florida, apparently a gun nut. Guessing he might have been a Republican supporter. That's the one case that they have so far brought in the state of Florida out of what the governor of Florida had originally talked about, 186,000 potential non-citizens. So that's what the governor in Iowa is trying to do. He has been stopped for the moment by a judge, clearly a liberal activist judge who believes in things like the Constitution and the rule of law and the right to vote. Oh, and by the way, in Colorado this week, the same thing happened where you have a similar right-wing Tea Party jackass governor by the name of Scott Gessler, who tried to do the same thing with a non-citizen voter purge. He got back so many complaints from voters who weren't non-citizens that they have now stopped that purge, we are told, in the state of Colorado. Meanwhile, down in Texas, they were forced, at least in Harris County, that's Houston, to stop a purge of dead voters. Yeah, you know where this is going, don't you? When the dead voters turned out to be alive. More breaking news straight ahead. We got to get to a break here. And, as I said, it's a big, big night here on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike all night. Stop on by the chat room at bradblog.com. We'd love to see you over there. Stay tuned. The boys are back. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. That's the mood I'm in right now. Well done, Tony. Tony, by the way, glad to see you awake. You were doing Stephanie Miller's show all week long, were you?
Yeah. I was all this week and last week too, technically, because I was running them from the DNC.
That's right. Well, just so people don't know, we're this is Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com, sitting in for Mike Malloy. We're broadcasting from beautiful downtown Burbank in Los Angeles, which is apparently on fire tonight. Figuratively and literally, it was 100, over 100, about 102 before we started the show. Some of the hills are on fire. And we're broadcasting from Stephanie Miller's studio. She was on break all week. John Fugelsang sat in. You sat in for Chris Lavoie.
Yes.
You played Chris.
Yes.
And so
I didn't talk.
You didn't talk much?
No talking.
He never talks.
Never.
Except now. Now you're talking. Do you realize that?
You're tired.
So tired you don't even know you're talking.
Tired Tony talks more.
Yeah, that's true. That's the trick. Okay, so you might have seen his lovely bald mug this morning on Current TV if you're watching Stephanie. All right, before we're going to get to Stephanie Singer, the Philadelphia Election Commission chair, shortly here, and then Kurt Eichenwald on this remarkable 9/11 story. At the top of the hour, but before we go to a break here, some more breaking news. yesterday. Oh, by the way, that Iowa story is important. I checked the poll tracker average here from Talking Points memo. Right now, Barack Obama has a 0.7 lead, according to the polls, poll average, if you believe those, in the state of Iowa. So anybody that can shave off those rolls, as Secretary of State Matt Schultz is trying to do, that works out great, apparently, for Republicans, when they can target people, claim they're non-citizens, and surprise them on Election Day. Okay, a little bit more breaking news before we get to the break here. I checked with Mike Malloy earlier this afternoon. He didn't cover this. This broke late yesterday, but I know you guys will want to hear about this. A judge overturns Obama's terror detainee law. A federal judge in New York has overturned part of a law effectively allowing the indefinite detention of terrorism suspects. A one-paragraph provision in the sprawling National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA, signed by Obama December 31, 2011, enables the Pentagon to detain suspected Al-Qaeda or Taliban members of, quote, associated groups and anyone who has, quote, substantially supported them until the, quote, end of hostilities against the terror groups. Of course, that could be forever. So, a group of prominent journalists and academics, this is according to UPI, including Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Chris Hedges, MIT professor and writer Noam Chomsky, and Pentagon Papers source Daniel Ellsberg, have dubbed themselves the Freedom Seven, sued the government. Courthouse News Service notes, Hedges told U.S. District Court Judge Catherine Forrest he could have been held under the law's broad provisions for detaining people associated with terrorists. Several in the group testified to Forrest that the law forced them to change how they worked, with whom they spoke, and who they met. The judge said the testimony convinced her that the law has had a chilling effect on free speech. Quote, courts must safeguard core constitutional rights, she wrote in a decision released Wednesday. A long line of Supreme Court precedents adheres to this fundamental principle in unequivocal language. Although it is true that there are scattered cases, primarily decided during World War II, in which the Supreme Court sanctioned undue deference to the executive and legislative branches on constitutional questions, those cases are generally now considered an embarrassment. I should add, so should the NDAA be considered an embarrassment. For now, the indefinite detention part of it has been overturned. Let's see if the executive branch pays attention. I'm Brad, in for Mike Malloy. A whole lot more straight ahead. CNBC's Mad Money host, Jim Cramer, tweeted this week, I have a problem, he wrote. My dad, a vet, won't be allowed to vote in Pennsylvania because he does not drive, he is elderly, and he can't prove his citizenship. The host of Mad Money on CNBC, Jim Cramer. Now, of course, Jim Cramer found a solution to the massive voter suppression that's going on in Pennsylvania this year. What he did was he became a famous cable TV news star with over 1.5 million Twitter followers. So when he put out his tweet about his father, a vet, not being able to vote this year, state officials called him within an hour or two and took care of the problem. However, the problem is not taken care of for as many as 1.6 million eligible voters, otherwise eligible voters in the state of Pennsylvania this year, where the Republicans have passed this photo ID restriction law. This is really bad. This is really bad. This is one of the worst states in the union, unless this law is blocked. The challenge to the law by the ACLU was incredibly the attempt for an injunction failed in the Commonwealth Court a week or two ago. The appeal moved forward in the state Supreme Court, where the hearing was held yesterday. Right now, there are 3 Republicans and 3 Democrats on that Supreme Court. The fourth Republican has stepped aside pending a corruption investigation. So if that case ends up tying, then the lower court's ruling will stand, and some 1.6 million otherwise eligible voters in the state of Pennsylvania may find themselves unable to vote at all this year in the key swing state, which, by the way, Barack Obama won by just 600,000 votes back in 2008. To talk about this fine mess today, I'm joined by Stephanie Singer. She's a former election integrity advocate with VotePA.us. She is now, thankfully, the Democratic chair of the Philadelphia City Commission, which also serves as the election commission in the birthplace of liberty, Philadelphia. She joins us right now on the Mike Malloy Show. Stephanie Singer, welcome to the show.
Well, it is great to be here.
Great to have you here. Great to have you, by the way, in charge in Philadelphia after many years of your predecessor, Marge. I used to call her Large Marge. Marge Taglioni or something was her name?
Tartaglioni.
Yes. A terrible election official. I know you can't say it, but I will. So glad you're now in charge there, but you have a mess on your hands because, I'm guessing, Stephanie Singer, that there's not enough to do before a major presidential election. You've got just so much time on your hands. This is exactly what you need to be dealing with 56 days out of the presidential election. Am I right?
Well, it's incredibly frustrating to have all these resources going towards making sure that every Philadelphian has the ID they need to vote. And I need to give a shout out to my wonderful city of Philadelphia because, boy, are people stepping up, and it's just a fantastic, fantastic thing. But to see all this energy and all this money being spent, when if what you really care about is election integrity, you would spend a little bit of money on poll worker training, on signature audits, on other kinds of audits that are just, you know, maybe they're not as sexy as this kind of thing. But if what you're really after is election integrity, then you want to do it in just a database boring way.
Yeah, no, exactly. And instead, there is this. Now, were you, Stephanie Singer, were you at the Supreme Court hearing yesterday in Philadelphia?
I did not have time to go to the hearing. I mm-hmm. am pretty busy getting ready for the general election.
Yeah, I imagine as much. I heard it that it was a packed hearing. We covered it at bradblog.com. But here's what I want to run. There's a bunch of stuff I want to run through here. While evidence was presented during the initial trial that some 1.6 million voters across the state would be without the requisite ID now needed to vote under this new horrible polling place photo ID restriction law enacted by Republicans, Commonwealth Judge Robert Simpson, a Republican, disputed that number of 1.6 million. He said that he didn't find the plaintiff's expert witness credible. This was in his ruling. And he said that instead, by his estimation, that number, quote, is somewhat more than 1% and significantly less than 9%. Of the electorate, more than 1%, less than 9%. Well, some folks have done the math. That means that the judge who has allowed this this law to go forward for now thinks it's okay that anywhere from 100,000 to 500,000 registered voters without the type of ID, that's okay, that he's fine with that. Now, what are your numbers? What is your best understanding of the number of folks in Philadelphia, your city, who may not be able to vote under this law as it stands right now?
first of all, I'm glad you mentioned that the judge just completely threw out the testimony of the expert witness, a statistician from, I believe, the University of Washington.
Yeah.
And that was one of the most shocking things in the decision to me, and there was plenty to be shocked at. But that was shocking, and it followed by his observation that that everybody knows about the voter ID law, and he knows this because every single witness in the case knew about the voter ID law. I mean, it's not exactly a representative sample of
the eight people,
registered voters of Pennsylvania.
The eight plaintiffs who sued about it and the witnesses who came and talked. Yeah, apparently they knew about the law, but the hundreds of thousands who don't, by his own estimation, Stephanie,
yes.
100 to 500,000 registered voters don't have this ID, and in the next 60 days, this judge was cool with that, if I read his ruling correctly.
That's right. Well, to be fair to him, the argument that he is making and that the Department of State is making is that anybody who doesn't have an ID will be able to get one. That's the argument that they're making, to be fair. They're not saying that it's okay if people don't have the ID. They're saying that people can get the ID.
Except that Stephanie Singer, what we find is that I believe, looking for my through my notes here, but I think so far the state has given out, I want to say, 6,000 of these IDs,
yes,
if I have it correct. And so they're going to have to give out another anywhere from 94,000 to 494,000 before the November election?
Yes. Yeah, it's terrible. One of the things that's most frustrating for me, being something of a data hound and really believing that when you want to do things, especially about elections, mm-hmm. You really want to have your data in hand. Not only has the state not taken on the job of actually measuring who has the ID and who knows about it, they have really stonewalled attempts to get better data. So the number that you hear, there's a 1.6 million estimated by the statistician, and then you also hear the number of 750,000,
mm-hmm.
which is from the state's own
department
attempt,
yeah,
to see who does not have a PennDOT ID. PennDOT is our DMV. They did a lousy job of matching the data.
That was that 750,000 estimate, as you said, that was from the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation, PennDOT, and yet the state, Governor Tom Corbett, this horrible Secretary of State, Carol Achill, they all dispute the numbers given by their own State Department of Transportation, correct?
That is correct, and they won't let anyone else get the data to do a better match. So, for example, I mean, I don't want to get in the weeds here, but there are a lot of Irish people on the list because they didn't bother to take the spaces out of the last name so that on the voter list, McCaffrey, by the way, the one of the justices on the Supreme Court that's hearing this case,
yeah,
is listed as not having a PennDOT ID.
Oh, really? Seamus.
His last name is McCaffrey, and it's spelled MC space C, et cetera, on the voter list, but MCC, et cetera, on the PennDOT list.
Right.
And just this week, I asked them, look, guys, are you going to redo this match? Because they're using the match not just to get a count, but they're using it so that they're putting in the license numbers
mm-hmm.
in the database so that when we get absentee ballots, we can actually check.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to bother to redo this, even though I know it's a lousy match, and they know it's a lousy match because they're saying it's, the number's not as high.
So if Supreme Court Justice Seamus McCaffrey shows up to vote, and his driver's license says McCaffrey with a space, is he legally allowed to?
Oh, yes.
He is?
Yes. He is. Look, that's not the draconian part of this law. The draconian part of this law is that they went out of their way, really out of their way, to make it impossible for the city of Philadelphia to send vans around that could go into the neighborhood and let people get photo IDs in their neighborhoods the same way they vote in their neighborhoods.
So you can't, as the Philadelphia Election Commission, you are barred by state law, is that what I understand, from sending out mobile vans to issue photo IDs?
Well, I mean, I could do it, but those IDs would not be acceptable for voting.
You're not allowed yourself to issue the ID. It has to come from the DMV, from the PennDOT.
Well, there are a couple other places it can come from, but so very specifically, the city of Philadelphia in the law is allowed to issue IDs for voting, but only to employees.
What, only to employees?
Yeah.
Of the city of Philadelphia.
Of the city of Philadelphia. That's right. I mean, that's true of any municipality or county. In Pennsylvania. I mean, it's impossible to imagine why that restriction, except
it's not that
Philadelphia from sending out vans. And this law is really, really hits Philadelphia harder than any place else. And it's my belief that was deliberate.
I believe the university statistician, I think, pegged the number at nearly a million that he was concerned would not have the proper ID to vote by November 6th in Philadelphia. Is that match what your numbers are?
No, that number can't be right because we have just over a million registered voters in Philadelphia.
Okay.
So that number can't be quite right, but there were maybe that's a statewide? I'm not sure.
Well, I think he put it at somewhere around 700,000. And remember, he was talking about license plates, driver's licenses that would expire by November 6th, or that would be expired for a year by November 6th. But we're talking, in any case, do you have even an estimate? Does the city of Philadelphia have their own estimate about how many voters they are concerned may not have the type of ID now needed to vote in Philadelphia?
No, and I have tried so hard to get money from city council and the mayor just to do a survey.
Yeah.
Can we please just do a survey so that we can have some kind of handle on exactly how big the problem is? And we, I wish I could tell you that we knew, but we don't know.
Hang on.
We don't know. And that's, I mean, what?
Hang on, Stephanie. Hold the thought. Stephanie Singer, Election Commission Chair in the City of Philadelphia. We're going to come back with her in a moment. I'm Brad Friedman, in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Our music is a shelter where we know we're not alone. We sing the words of our favorite songs.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike tonight. After the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Kurt Eichenwald to discuss his new explosive revelations in the New York Times this week concerning 9/11. But before that, I'm speaking with Stephanie Singer, who is an election integrity advocate and now happily the chair of the Philadelphia Election Commission, the Philadelphia City Commission, which is also the Election Commission, about this nightmare 1.6 million voters who may not be able to vote under the new Republican polling place photo ID restriction. We've got just a few minutes left here, Stephanie, so I want to run through a couple of questions as quickly as we can. First,
okay.
How much and by the way, we're waiting for a decision. I think we'll hear this month from the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, who heard testimony on this yesterday. Okay, so how much in-person voter fraud, the only type that can possibly be deterred by photo ID restrictions at the polling place, how much in-person voter fraud has there been, to your knowledge, in Philadelphia recently or ever?
The answer is zero, and the Department of State, the state itself, admitted as much in the case, in the filings in the case, that there's been zero in the state of Pennsylvania, and that that there was no reason to think that this was any kind of threat to the integrity of the election in November. I think the biggest threat to the election integrity in November is this wholesale attempt to steal an election by implementing this law.
I think it is a wholesale attempt to steal the election. All right. The city of Philadelphia submitted a brief in the Supreme Court appeal that was heard yesterday, stating that the ID issue is not just a problem for those without ID, but it could cause a problem for all voters because of the additional time that it's going to require for people to fill out provisional ballots. How much of a concern is that, that it will affect not just people who can't vote, but people who do have the ID to vote?
Well, it's a huge concern. And again, we don't know. We cannot say how big of a problem it's going to be. And that makes the problem in preparing for it. You know, if we could, if we knew what the real magnitude of the problem was, we could prepare for it.
Well, you know. Yeah, it's just a presidential election. Let's test it out there. Let's see what happens. Are you going to have enough provisional ballots on hand to are you confident that you're going to have enough provisional ballots on hand?
We'll have enough provisional ballots on hand, and we will have mechanisms to get more should any polling place run out. We have a pretty quick response that goes out.
I know this is a dangerous business, but do you have any confidence at this hour that this law will be overturned by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, and in lieu of that, by the Department of Justice, which is now coming in and has been investigating and may bring a federal suit in this case, Stephanie Singer?
I don't know, and there's. I have to be prepared for the worst.
And you guys are preparing for the worst. What can people do? What do people most need to know if they're in Philadelphia at this hour as far as, you know, what they need to do to make sure they're registered?
Two things they need to know. First of all is on November 6th, even if you don't have the ID, go to the polls and vote a provisional ballot, because we at the Board of Elections are going to do everything we can legally to count every vote. I personally will not stand by any kind of disenfranchisement.
Good.
So that's the first thing. And number two is that only the poll workers have the right to ask you for your ID. If a poll watcher asks you, they cannot insist. And if they are in any way aggressive about it, then they're obstructing the election.
Stephanie Singer, thank you very much. We'll be right back with more on The Mike Malloy Show.